God is saying, if you look for me diligently, if you seek me, require my face as a necessity for living. If you do it occupied, preoccupied, like you are employed to do it, if you do it that way, you find me. You find me.
Hello, saints. Welcome to another hopeful message from Covenant Family Chapel. In these times of fear and anxiety, you need a word that will uplift us. We need to remember the words of 2 Timothy 1:7, which says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Fear does not come from God. To come into the knowledge and understanding of such biblical teachings for these times, let's listen to author and teacher Neil Archiampong with a message of hope.
We want to continue with our lessons on the revelation concerning the promises of God for our services. But every sacrifice that you make for the kingdom of God, the scripture says there is a promise that God has made to you. I want all the young people to stay with me. Everybody stay in the building. I've come to understand one thing, that preaching is good, but it's not the most important thing, because if it was, most of us would be changed here. It's time for us to seek God and seek Him diligently. Everybody say diligently. There are promises God has made to you and I, which are valuable for now and for the future. There are promises that God has made to you and to me. They are valuable for the present time, and they are also valuable for the future when you get to heaven. It was Jesus who said these words. In the Beatitudes, he says, "Blessed are they when men shall revile you and persecute you." He said, "Rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven." It doesn't make sense. If people are reviling you and persecuting you, what in the world is something great in the future? Because he reminds you that the things that take place in the future supersedes the present. Are you guys with me? Salvation is free. Everybody say salvation is free. But rewards in the kingdom of God is not free. Did you get that? It's very easy to hang on the idea, saved by grace, yes. Salvation by grace, yes. But there are things that must happen. The things that you get rewarded with, they are not free. You must act on them. I said, you must what? Act on them. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll read the 11th verse. And I want to focus on one of the promises for the now. Please, if you read with me, shall we? Read. "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Three lessons we learn from this verse. First of all, he says God is, or God exists. Secondly, he says God rewards. Thirdly, God rewards those who seek him diligently. Say this with me. God exists.
God exists.
Come on, say it like you mean it. God exists. That is something you must be sold out on. It's not an issue of an argument. Does Sony company exist? Come on. Does the company Sony exist? Does Apple exist? How do you know? Because the product made by these companies, you see them each day. Who made you? How dare you tell me God does not exist? When his thumbprint and his handprint and everything is on you, the scripture says he made us in his image. God exists. There is no argument about it. People can argue it. But truth is, you're lying to yourself. He does exist. If you cannot deny a product that is made by humans, how dare you deny the one that is made by God? I did not come from under a rock. I was made by God. What about you? I said, what about you? I am not a monkey. I was made by God. In fact, the writer of the book of Psalms says, God took his notepad like an artist who draws, and he began to think about me, how I'm going to look like, my future, and he began to write it down. Then he made me. Then he made you. How dare you say the one who made me does not exist? He does exist. This morning I talked to him. This morning we have worshipped him. And we welcome him right here in this place right now. God exists. But he does not only exist for existence sake. He exists to reward you. And the scripture says he only rewards those who diligently. See, the world is tired of Christianity because there are no diligent seekers. And if you are not diligent, you don't get results. And if you don't get results, who wants something that doesn't have results? Nobody. Amen. And so we're going to go into God's word very briefly, and we will go back in prayer again. Because I want you to understand what it means to diligently what? Diligently? Come on, talk to me. Diligently seek him. We want to diligently seek him. The Greek word in this verse that has been translated diligent is the word exertio. It means to seek out. It means to search for something. It means to investigate and to scrutinize. God is saying, I will reward those who investigate who I am. They want to have much deeper depths of who I am as a God. They are not satisfied with what somebody else told them. They only get satisfied because they are looking for me. Now, I know somebody say, Pastor, we are not Greek, we are not Hebrew. All young people, write it down. I made you sit here because some of you are seeking God leisurely. If you do that, you will never find him. Every young person sitting next to another young person, tell them, we can do this leisurely. Come on, tell them. You cannot look for God leisurely. And sometimes the children learn it from the parents because the parents are seeking God leisurely. God says, I reward those who seek me diligently. They search out. They seek me out. They investigate. They scrutinize. In fact, if you read the Amplified Version of the Bible, 2 Chronicles 7:14, he said, if my people who are called by my name, he said, if they will turn from their wicked ways and seek me. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. If they require my face as a necessity for living. In other words, prayer is not an option. It's not something you show up for. When I see believers skipping prayer meeting, it is an indication that diligent seeking is not part of you. I did not come here this morning to play with you. I came here with something serious. Are you guys with me? Diligent seekers. Diligent seekers. Now, let's leave Hebrew and Greek alone. Let's come down to dictionaries. I want us to look at some synonyms of the word diligent. It means to be active. It means to be occupied. It means to be tied up, busy, employed, engaged, engrossed, focused, immersed, preoccupied, earnest. Do these words describe the way you are serving God? Are you preoccupied with God? I'll come back to it. Let's look at the opposites, the antonyms of diligent: idle, inactive, unemployed, unoccupied, indifferent. Can I explain the word indifferent to you? It was Jesus, I think he said in the book of Matthew 14, if I'm correct, he said that there was a generation when the drum party beat for them, they don't dance. When they drum a funeral dirge to them, they don't cry. And he was asking, what's the matter with you? They're indifferent. Indifferent means whatever happens don't mean much to them. And young people, listen to me. As long as you have your will to make decisions, God will judge you. I love you enough to tell you that truth. And the decisions you hide to make, including all the adults, God is going to judge you because you have your will. If you are a puppet, he has no right. And he will send people like me to keep reminding you. Do these words, inactive, idle, unemployed, unoccupied, indifferent, dormant, lifeless, sleepy, passive, disinterested, lazy, inattentive, neglectful, does it describe your Christian walk? He that comes to God must believe that he exists and that he always will reward. But the scripture says he only rewards those who are not inactive, unemployed. In other words, he's saying, seek me as if it is an employment for you. The way you wake up in the morning and you go to work because you've been employed by a certain employer, he said, seeking me must become like that. You must be preoccupied. Are you with me this morning? You must be pre-what? I told you this year it will be kingdom. Church is over. Are you interested in God? Are you? It's very easy to come to church, go home, come to church, and never be a diligent seeker. Today, God's word to you is that you must learn to be a diligent seeker. Jeremiah 29, and let's read a popular verse. We all know verse 10. But after that, I think the popular one is verse 11. So let's start from 10. And add a few more verses to it. Are you there with me? Okay. Read with me from the screen if you can, shall we? Read. For this is what the Lord says. When 70 years for Babylon are complete, I will attend to you and will confirm my promise concerning you to restore you to this place. Pause. We'll continue later. God's people, the Israelites, were in captivity because they have done some things God did not want and allowed them to be in captivity. He comes to them through the prophet Jeremiah and he gives them a promise. We are talking about God's promises to reward. So let's look at the promise that God has given them. Verse 11, I think it's popular. Shall we read it? Go. For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I think it's a good place to clap. God says, I'm going to give you a future and what? A hope. Is that a promise? Is that a promise? All right. Verse 12. Read with me. You will call to me. And come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Is that a promise? Wow, that's awesome. I got good plans for you. When you pray, I will listen. Now, let's listen to the condition attached to the promise. Verse 13, read with me. You will seek me and find me when you search for me. Huh. I took the pain to look up the word all, not in English, but in the Hebrew. A transliteration of that word is call, as in English we call it K-O-L. It means whole, totality, everything. God says, you will look for me, you will search for me, you will pray for me to hear. When you do it with everything, your totality, not part of it. Sometimes we make it sound like God is not willing to listen to our prayer. But I'll say this and I'll say it again. God will not be pimped. He will respond to those who give him all their heart. Not part of it. All of it. Either he is Lord of all or he is none at all. Amen. Two scriptures and I close and we'll get into prayer. Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse 4. Idle hands makes one poor, but diligent hands bring what? Bring? Now, in the context of Hebrews 11, the word diligent simply means the one who is willing to seek God with his all. He's giving it. He's doing it as if this is an employment. He's preoccupied with it. He's not afraid of those who would say, why are you acting like you are all that spiritual? That's what you're supposed to be doing. Are you with me? You know, when you hear some of those statements, please don't be afraid, because it is the devil's way of stealing your answers. So you're also trying to conform to everybody else. I refuse to conform. I said, I refuse to. And the truth is, you are in many areas, you are not conforming. So I don't know why you want to keep conforming to sin. You can be in church for 40 years. If you don't seek God with all of your heart, you will still be a drunkard. Because sitting in this building doesn't change anything. Now, how many of you can enter a garage? Let me see your hands. How many of you can enter a garage? You're afraid to raise your hands. How many of you can enter a garage? Are you a car? I'm only reminding you that entering a garage is not only for cars. In the same way, coming to church is not only for the serious. Sometimes the unserious are present. But God is saying, if you seek me with all of your heart, my heart is burning today. Because there are too many Christians who are not seeing the hand and the power of God. And they think that God, for some reason, is so wicked. But he is not. He's already said it. If you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. But if you do it, sarah, sarah, anyhow, some way, somehow, half here, half there. Somebody says, come see, you completed it. Seek me with all of your heart. Come on, talk to me. Seek God with all of y'all. And I pray that we will come to that place where we are active, we are occupied, we are tied up. In other words, when somebody comes around you, they have no, you have, your schedule is filled up with God and God alone. And what makes you think that serving God and giving him your all is not exciting? You know how sometimes Satan tried to give you these lies that if you are serving God, it's not exciting. You can't dance. You walk into a party and Christians are just dancing. It's okay. But you walk into the house of God and all of a sudden, they don't know how to dance. Something is not right with the picture. How come you are so familiar in certain arenas but this place. It means you are occupied there but unoccupied here. Listen to me. We are not doing church no more. Tell the person sitting next to you, this is not church as usual. We are doing kingdom. Pastor is unchurching us. Use my English. Doesn't sound good English, but keep it. I am unchurching you. Because I want to see God work in the lives of people. Are you with me? For there to have been a Daniel, there must be a lions then. You cannot tell me that you will become all of a sudden like a Daniel who prays in the midst of lions and God hears it when you have not passed the test of the den. For there to have been a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there has to be a Nebuchadnezzar who is threatening you with a fire. And literally you are inside the fire and you don't care. That is when God shows up for you. When you seek me with all of your heart. The public proclamation of our faith matters. Hiding your Christian walk is not God's way. In fact, the concept of baptism was so that the rest of the community will know that you belong to a particular rabbi. How do we tell our children God is real? Sometimes I'm sure they look at us and they laugh. Because when they look at your life, it's a mockery of what the Bible has said. Today, let us rise up and begin to make that declaration that you will find him when you search for him with all, everything, total, everything, total, everything. Everybody say everything. Everything. All of me. He's got to look for him. The idle hands, those who does the opposite of diligent, the Bible says they will be poor. But the one who is diligent will be rich. What is he saying? In other words, if I am looking to be poor, what am I supposed to do with these two verses here? Anybody? If I'm looking to be poor, what do? I have to be idle. And is it a normal thing in life? Those who are just idling around waiting for welfare, you'll be poor. You'll forever depend on welfare. I'm not against being on welfare, but my problem is that how do I teach you about God who wants you to work and get better and set up a system that keeps you back? I will never do it. I don't care what you say, but I will not teach you that thing. I will teach you how to work with your hands and God blesses those hands. Are you understanding me? So, if I want to be poor, all I need to do is to be idle. But if I want to be rich and I decide to be idle, what happens? So is it a demon causing that? It's all of hell against you if you are idle. Idle simply means you are lazy. You are not engaged. You are not willing to do anything. So these are natural laws. Modern day people will call it karma. What you sow is what you. If you decide to be idle, you'll be poor. We can have international prayers for you. International as in between nations. They pray for you in America and they pray for you in Africa. Or intercontinental prayers. You will still be poor. Have you met anyone who is diligent, spent so much time working on their business poor? No. It means producing positive results are a direct thing connected with diligence. God is saying, if you look for me diligently, if you seek me, require my face as a necessity for living. If you do it occupied, preoccupied, like you are employed to do it. If you do it that way, you find me, you find me, you find me, you find me. And we must come to that place where we get tired with being idle. I know, it's not condemnation, but it's reminding you, I think it's time to get tired. Aren't you going to get tired? Aren't you? Last week,
all the parents at some point decided we were tired of losing. I don't care how the kids call it, but we came in diligent. You went easy because you decided to be idle because we were no match for you. See, but that day, you see, I'm still limping from it. It reminds me of the victory. That was only an example. I am just trying to remind you that anything that you give it your all, you will see results. One last scripture and I'll close. Look there with me also in the book of Proverbs again. Proverbs 13. Look at verse 4. Please read with me. There. Can we scale the world down? Anybody to tell me what it means? Wow. You already know. The lazy will crave. So craving is not the issue. There has to be a corresponding action to the things you are craving. In fact, last week some of the kids played so well and I could tell that they've been playing for so long. So they've been craving soccer and there's a corresponding action to the soccer. And they are good. We bless God for them. But we were craving victory. And we came for victory. The slacker craves, yet has nothing. In other words, the scripture is saying that your craving does not necessarily give you a result. Craving to come to church, craving to be among God's people, they are always good. But you must go past the point where you are diligent. You are occupied. Let's go back to those words. Where we are active, we are tied up, we are busy, we are engaged, engrossed, focused. I like this one. You are immersed in it. It's not something partial. One of my kids wants to play soccer to the very high level. And I told him, those who do it, they sleep with it in their head. They wake up with it in their head. Those who wish it will keep wishing and never get there. Are you with me? It's time for us to stop craving for miracles and actually do what God says will bring miracles. It's time to stop craving for things and let's add corresponding action. Amen. What is this corresponding action I'm talking about? Seeking the face of God as a necessity for living. As I seek in the, it means you cannot go one day without having to pray and worship and seek his face. That is the difference. Because if it has to do with reading the Bible, you tell me how many people are not reading. Some are even reading and they are cursing at the same time. Because until God himself meets you and changes you, you can read this all you want. It will become a book to you. And today we're going to practice it. I said today we're going to. Because I realize that every now and then when I let you guys loose, you're going back to the old. Today I intend to take you back there. When we worship the King. When we worship the King. When we are not there to ask him for anything. But we are there to say, Lord, I want to see you. I want to touch you. I want to hold you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to another Kingdom Impacting message. Have you been looking for a place to call home? Need a place that makes you feel welcome and valued? At Covenant Family Chapel, Our community is waiting for people just like you to find their way home. We invite you to visit during one of our Sunday services to discover how you can spread your wings in our friendly and reposeful worship environment. Visit Covenant Family Chapel this Sunday for our 10 o'clock service, located at 10307 Coppermine Road, Woodsboro, Maryland. To interact with pastor and teacher Neil Archie Ampong, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram and Twitter, all at Covenant One Family. Call 301-696-8555 and visit the church's website at covenantfamilychapel.org.